on September 11th.
Jeez.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
You're almost wrapped up, so you'll be pretty almost. Happy too, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm here today for change order number 12 for the EOC. And change order 12 consists of five potential changes in the communications of fiber optics and the equipment like that, and increases the project cost by $733.33. The first of the PCOs was the deletion of five equipment racks. That's kind of like duplication between owner supplied and vendor supplied for a credit of $762.10. The second was the installation of all the equipment in the fiber, coaxial, and the copper lines to the state police equipment cabinet outside that they'll bring up their mobile unit to. That was never shown on the contract drawings. And that was an increase of $6,090.63. The third we deleted was a duplicate fiber optics line from the new EOC to the old EOC. And we deleted it, number one, because we rerouted Verizon to eliminate that area where all the lightning strikes hit and blows the equipment. That is a credit of $2,483.48. Then the fourth was when we switched out to go to the grommets instead of the floor boxes so that we could line the furniture up correctly. Swapping out the floor boxes for the grommets ended up in the credit at $220.89. And the fifth was a deletion of an audio-visual cabinet that both subs had in their price. So we deleted the one because we didn't need both of them in the same spot. So that was a credit of $1,890.80. So basically, those five PCOs come up to change order 12 and increase the contract price by $733.36.
It's almost a wash.
Almost.
You're doing much better on that one than the last one.
Well, we've got over the big ones.
Yeah,
I still see about three more coming, but we won't go any higher on total. The 1% over budget bid price will be somewhere in this vicinity. Any questions? I have a motion. May I read it?
Sure.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department and its consultant L. Robert Kimball and Associates, change order number 12 for Sussex County Project 04-02 Emergency Operations Center building be approved, which increases the contract amount by $733.36 for a new total of $7,233,167.30.
So moved, Mr. President.
That motion, Mr. Jones, seconded by
second.
Mr. Phillips to approve the motion just read Mr. Jones. Change order for the new EOC. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes. Motion's carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Just a few grants today. Bridgeville Apple Scrapple Festival.
$500.
So I have
a you close.
Have a motion,
I'm
Mr. Jones.
Did you get my notes?
Seconded by
second.
Mr. Phillips to give $500 from his community improvement to the Bridgeville Apple Scrapple Festival. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
Town of Bridgeville?
$250. I'd be that councilman.
Second.
I have a motion from Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips, to give $250 from his council medic to the town of Bridgeville for their golf tournament. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
The International Association of Approved Basketball Officials.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Jones, second Mr. Phillips, to give $50 from each councilmatic to the International Association of Basketball Officials for the golf tournament. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
And City of Seaford for their recreation football program.
What did it do last year?
Last year, it was a youth activity grant from your account, Mr. Dukes.
Huh? That
for $500.
Somebody make that motion?
Somebody.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips, seconded by?
Second.
Mr. Rogers, to give $500 from my youth activity account to the city of Seaford for their recreation and football program. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion is carried.
Thank you.
Proposed ordinances, Mr. Hackett.
Okay, introducing an ordinance, the title of which is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a contractor's office and parking for vehicles and equipment to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 28,964 square feet of land, square feet more or less.
I'll introduce it. At all?
It's all.
Okay, additional business. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to comment on something I was brought up earlier. It's the 30-foot forested buffer ordinance. My name is Tiffany Derrickson. I live at 54 Rolling Road in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I'm here to inform the county that the current problems with the county's 30-foot forested buffer law extend far beyond the ambiguous language currently used in the law. Currently, the county acts as though laws were made to be discretionary. There is no accountability for the enforcement of county law or penalties imposed to developers who violate the law. It is essential for the county to enforce the law because it was made to protect agricultural lands and the people that already own land and live in Sussex County, Delaware. Laws are not made to be discretionary. Laws are made to be enforced. Since the beginning of June, I have been working diligently to receive a timeline from the county for when a 30-foot forested buffer will be put in place at the Independence Development along all lands adjacent to the N&M Burton Farm District. On June 11, 2007, my mother and I met with Inspector Parsons from the Conservation District at the N&M Burton Farm District, and he documented and reported the violations of a dry pond less than 10 feet from the N&M Burton Farm District, as well as the lack of a 30-foot forested buffer as recommended by the state forester at the Independence Development. Inspector Parsons followed up our meeting with a phone call informing us that he reported the violations at the Independence Development to Planning and Zoning, and that it was the job of the county to enforce county law. On June 14, 2007, I personally delivered a letter to Mr. Lank documenting the violations at the Independence Development and requested permits be pulled until the dry pond was filled in and a 30-foot forested buffer approved by the state forester be in place along all lands adjacent to the N&M Burton Farm District. More than 3 weeks passed without a follow-up phone call or letter from Planning and Zoning. Then, on July 9, 2007, I called Mr. Lank and left a message requesting follow-up from our June 14th letter since construction at the Independence Development continued despite the fact that the violations, they continued to violate county law. After a month passed without a phone call or letter from the county, my mother and I started calling various state agencies, state officials, and local representatives. These phone calls facilitated a meeting with Mr. Godwin on July 20th, 2007 at the N&M Burton Farm District. Mr. Godwin observed the violations at the Independence Development and informed us that the dry pond, less than 10 feet from the N&M Burton Farm District, was temporary. We informed Mr. Godwin that temporary was unacceptable, and due to the negative environmental impacts related to insect breeding, erosion, and pollution, the dry pond would negatively impact the N&M Burton Farm District. More importantly, we stated that the dry pond should not even be there since county law stated a 30-foot forested buffer should be in place along all residential developments that are adjacent to agricultural lands. On July 24, 2007, we faxed Mr. Godwin a follow-up letter and included 18 pages of research articles on the negative impacts of dry pond and requested a timeline for the dry pond to be filled in and a 30-foot forested buffer be in place at the Independence Development along all lands adjacent to the N&M Burton Farm District. On August 3rd, 2007, Mr. Godwin sent the first written response we have received from the county, informing us that the dry pond was to be filled in immediately, but due to construction and dry conditions, he could not give us a timeline for when the 30-foot forested buffer would be in place. On August 8th, 2007, we sent Mr. Godwin a follow-up letter stating that the 30-foot forested buffer should have been put in place prior to construction starting at the Independence Development and should include an irrigation system in order to maintain a healthy forested buffer. We again requested a timeline for a 30-foot forested buffer to be in place at the Independence Development along all lands adjacent to the N&M Burton Farm District, stating that this was essential in order to resolve these violations in county law at the Independence Development. We also inquired if fines had been imposed as of June 15th for the violations in county law at the Independence Development. So after 2.5 months of writing letters, making phone calls, and meeting with people at the N&M Burton Farm District, we are still waiting a timeline from the county for when a 30-foot forested buffer will be in place at the Independence Development along all lands adjacent to the N&M Burton Farm District. We continue to wait to hear if fines were enforced for the violations in county law at the Independence Development as well. As you can see, the issues of accountability and enforcement are just as important as the interpretation of the law, because it will not matter how well the law is written if no one is accountable for enforcing it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I've included a copy of the three letters we have sent to the county.
Mr. Kramer?
Make note of one thing on this topic. Or
go ahead. Okay. Wait just a second, Mr.
Okay.
Mr. Baker.
I just passed out a copy of a letter that I don't think Mrs. Derrickson has, but there was a letter sent to Mr. Mark Chora, Sussex Group Partners, the developer in this particular case, from Shane Abbott, who's here, and basically it says that the office, that Planning and Zoning Office, is.
Yeah.
We do require a 30-foot forested buffer around near your property. A revised plan, the office is aware that a revised plan has been submitted to the Sussex Conservation District for approval. Planning and Zoning Office is requesting that the required 30-foot forested buffer be installed as soon as possible. Failure to correct this violation may result in building permits and certificate of occupancies being withheld until this matter is resolved.
All right, excuse me, if you're going to speak, you had your turn, but you have to come back to the microphone. But Mr. Baker, you have anything else?
No.
One question, Mr. Dukes, can I ask of Dave in reference to this letter?
Yes, Mr. Cole.
The last paragraph, Dave, where it says the violation may result in building permits and certificates of occupancy being withheld. Is that a policy? Is that part of the ordinance? What is that? And why in the word will, instead of may, why don't we have will? Or is this something that, again, can be floating out there that's vague? Could somebody give me a clarification of that?
Good morning. We use the word may as to get their attention.
So wouldn't will get more of an attention?
Yes.
Wouldn't you stand up straighter if somebody said it will? Correct?
Yes.
Okay, but is it a policy? Is there anything that we have that
we would have to turn it over to the constable? They would, I believe, they go out,
right,
give the developer another violation. If they don't correct it, then it's taken.
No, I'm talking about the part where it may result in withholding building permits and certificates of occupancy, not the violation and the fine, but that part of it. Where do we have the ability
to use the word will or
well,
may?
No, to withhold building permits and certificates.
More or less a policy. Other
is it written anywhere? I mean,
no.
Okay. I'm just, because when somebody brings that up, when an attorney's standing there and saying, "Hey, you can't do that. It's nowhere in right." How do we tell them we can?
Sometimes the engineering department or building code requests that our office withhold a CO, engineering, public works, or conservation district. They send us letters daily. requesting that building permits be withheld for certain projects.
And we do that?
It's under a policy, yes.
Okay, is there, Mr. Hackett, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but do you see any problem with a process that doesn't really have anything in writing, even if it's a policy? Doesn't a policy have to be somehow adopted by this council to say this is the policy, or somewhere in writing, somewhere in our documents that, because I can just see a slick attorney, not one like yourself, but a slick attorney, would be able to manhandle us and kind of squirm around and put some pressure on us to...
Right, let's let him answer the question. Yeah. Mr. Hackett?
Well, I think that certainly if they're coming for a certificate of occupancy, then certainly it can be withheld if all the requirements have not been met for that particular subdivision. I don't know about a building permit, you know, whether that, but it would seem that, and I'd have to check on that, but it would seem that that we should have the authority to withhold a building permit if the development's not in compliance with what was mandated in the site plan.
But if the process is not really spelled out in some kind of document form, how do we follow a process that doesn't have any guidelines to it?
We got a process.
If you don't comply with the requirements for the issuance of a building permit or a certificate of occupancy, then we have the ability to withhold that. And that, you know, that doesn't have to be, and that's written out somewhere, I'm sure.
Don't be too sure.
Well,
okay.
That's where I
But in any event, even if it's not written out, I think we'd have the authority to withhold that permit because
we should have it somewhere in writing somewhere.
We are holding a bond for that development also.
All right, but Dave, we don't have it in writing.
Mr. Tom Baker to hold it. Pardon me?
We don't have any policy in writing, do we, anywhere? I'm pretty safe in saying that.
Well, it's something we've been doing all along.
That doesn't matter. Dale, that doesn't matter. I think at this stage of the game, we need to start enforcement. Everybody's complaining about enforcement, and then we don't have anything in writing to back some of this stuff up. I'm just saying, shouldn't we?
You open up a can of worms if you're talking about policies, because there's policies made in every department
as
that
we
don't
go through. As we go through, though, Dale, don't you think it would be wise, as we come up with a policy that's not in writing, that is used a lot, that we do something to make it legit?
Well, if you get into policies that they're enforcing, you're going to get into a mess of stuff in the building code that they're enforcing there that's not in the code that they just enforce.
Well, I'm saying, but don't you think it's wise that we start getting this in writing? I'm just trying to find out. Are you suggesting we shouldn't?
You can certainly take a look at that. We'll look at it.
Well, Mr. Derrickson, do you have anything else?
There we go. We'll pass the buck there.
Mr. Derrickson, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I guess the main point of my letter and coming here today, and as I heard you discuss the new ordinance, that was one thing that really wasn't implied in there. If developers don't follow county law, what are the penalties that are going to be imposed, and how is it going to be enforced? Because currently, we still have no timeline for when our forested buffer will be in place at the M&M Burton Farm District.
You also understand that we have to wait for soil conservation to approve that plan, because they're moving the stormwater management plan upon apparently, and that has to be all reviewed, and they have like 30 days to do it, and it had to be resubmitted and all that. So we're at the mercy of stormwater management right now until they give it to us. Is that right, Mr. Baker?
Well, the pond has been filled in.
Okay, well, I do understand that, but I understand that they have to relocate it now and all those type of things, and we're waiting for a state agency to give us back.
Well, it has been over 2.5 months.
I understand.
So,
I do understand.
And, you know,
right.
Nothing,
I do understand.
Not much has happened. And we're
right.
Still waiting. And that's just, I think, when you redo the ordinance, the penalties and enforcement need to be addressed so it has some teeth.
Thank you. Mr. Kramer.
My name is Dan Kramer. I'm from my motherhood. Talking about forested buffers.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. It's right, because I'm going to tell you something. You cannot very well have 30 feet around every development or every, maybe a development, but in every zoning. It's not feasible, not even cost effective. You're gonna block everybody out? I don't think so. You need to look at that one real close.
Thanks.
Thank you for your
additional business. Gentlemen, we got a luncheon, 12 o'clock at the Sussex Pines, is it, Mr. Baker?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For the Realtors Association. I'm excited. I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, seconded by Mr. Second. Rogers to adjourn. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, so carried.
I think we need a wall.
I got a